there's a number of things that we want to talk through with you and work through with you in terms of what we feel God's talking to us about in 2018. Some of them are more urgent than others, in as much as they are coming up very shortly, and some of them are a bit more long term. I wonder if you can you put just the cover slide up so I just know they're up there. That's fine. The first thing to say, if you were here last week, or if you've listened online, James was speaking about our involvement in the city and how we love this city, and some of the things that were happening through the way that God was leading him, through things like Motorfest and some other things that he's been involved with very recently, and was telling us some stories about how we've found favour in the city. And I don't know whether you were listening. Did anybody listen to or watch the local BBC News on Friday morning? We were headline news. Motorfest was headline news all the way through Friday morning and even into Saturday. You did well done, Steve. That's out in Nuneaton as well. Didn't I went that far? We were headline news because there's some very exciting things that were happening. But it's not so much the exciting things that are happening, unless you're particularly into timed motorsport events, in which case it was very exciting. But actually, it's just another example of the things that we're doing impacting the city. And the other thing that you may have seen the Hope Coventry newsletter, which came out earlier this week. Earlier last week. It did two things. One is it announced that Chris Edwards is working for them. And he is now their chief operating officer, or as I keep referring to it in trustee meetings, the coup. So if anybody has any problems with Chris, he's a coup, so don't worry about it. But also, in that newsletter, there was a notice from Hope themselves, who are a number of churches, represent a number of churches right across the city, saying that we actually feel that we want to invest our time and energy into Motorfest, both this year and in the future. Excuse me. And we see it as being our major contribution into the evangelistic life of the city during the summer. And I think that's a significant moment for us. Again, not just Jubilee Church, but for the whole church in the city to say, this event that we're putting on, that means we can get out into the streets and we can proclaim the gospel and the kingdom of God and something of the love of God. So I think there are major bits of news, and we are facilitating some of that. That's amazing, isn't it? Yes, you're going to have to be a lot more excited than this as the morning goes on. Otherwise, it will take quite a long time. Okay, so some of the things that I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about four things today. We've talked about the reach outside the city from last week. This week, we want to talk about buildings. We want to talk about our international reach. We want to talk about some leadership changes, eldership changes. And we want to talk about potentially, we might touch into finance. We may run out of time by then. So I'm going to start with building. We're in this wonderful room. One of the reasons that we go into two services is because there aren't actually... We are using now all of the chairs. This is the whole Coventry University's entire stock of chairs, it would appear. If we pull the high chairs forward as we did at Christmas, it just means that people are very high up and a very long way away, and we lose a lot of that family feel. So we've sort of maxed out the way that we can use this room. If we have all of the children upstairs, there is simply not enough room for them. You know that story, so therefore we're meeting into two meetings. Now, two meetings means that we have quite a small and intimate one at about 9:15 on a Sunday morning, which is quite nice. I like it. Lots of people say to me, I really like it. I've been up since about 6:30, so I find it's okay. Then we have a lovely time of coffee and cakes, which I do enjoy. And then we have another meeting at 11:15 following on this size, which is, I guess, about half the size of this meeting. And it's a bit funny because it feels like neither meetings, they're not quite as big as this. But the reason is to do with the fact that this building doesn't work for us anymore. We know we want a building. We've been praying for it for quite some time. And at the back end of last year, about October, we shared with those of you that were around in the week of prayer some news regarding a building that we feel that God is starting to open up to us. And we started to pray for that. And I wanted to give you an update on that and also do it in the context of everybody here so that it's not just the kind of 30 or 40 faithful that have come to the prayer meeting that hear about it. So I've got some slides. Just to remind you, we are looking at a site which is just by Junction 7. That's Junction 7 there, following my excellent arrow. And that there is where is Eaton House, where Eaton House is. So that's the cinema there and the ice rink. And we're just right on the corner. So we're looking at this building here, which is currently the headquarters of the Coventry and Warwickshire Association for the Deaf. And that little bit there is radio, the back of Radio Plus. And we've been working with the CWAD to say, is there something that we can do together? And the reason that we've done that really comes out of some prophetic stuff that God's been speaking to us over the last few years. So you remember a few years ago, God spoke to us about how he was going to change us and enable us to speak the language of the city and to be effective in changing the city. And out of that, a lot of things like Motorfest has come about. But also within that prophetic word was a word about a building, and that building would be significant. It would be involving lots of change, and lots of people would be coming into it saying, well, what does this mean? What does this look like? And why is this here? And being astounded by who the church is and what the church is doing. And he also said at the end of that it was going to be so expensive that your tithes wouldn't cover it. And it was going to require faith, and then it was going to require faith, and then it was require faith. And I think he said faith about seven times, which those of you that enjoy money and finances will recognize that is a big deal. And so we started talking with a CWD. About a year before that, we in the eldership team and one of these leaders were starting to pray, well, Lord, what do we do with this building? What should we do? Should we be looking for something that we can use as a conference centre that we can earn lots of corporate money from and run a building? And we just felt we didn't want to do that. Lots of churches have done that. I was talking to one the other day who was very excited because they had let the room. I don't know if I should tell you this. Well, I'll tell you. I never said this, if this gets back to the wrong church, okay? So they've let their main room out as the rehearsal space for the cruise ship's dance companies. I know, it's exciting, isn't it? So they've let their main room out as the rehearsal ship. And he was telling me, they've got tens of thousands of pounds in for rent for this corporate let. But we felt that we didn't want to go down the route of chasing essentially corporate lets. And as we prayed about it, we felt God speak to us and say, I want you to build a kind of third sector hub, a place that enables lots of different community groups and charities to come together and to do their thing, so that we're not holding a conference centre whereby, you know, you've got to compete with a conference centre for lettings, but that we have high quality, but for the community. And so we started speaking to the Coventry and Warwickshire Association for the Deaf because we knew that they had this site available and that their building was past its ability to be used. It was too big for them and too small for us. And since that time, we've been developing and thinking about the idea of creating a new community centre. Now, why I'm telling you this right now is in part to give you the news, but also because this week there are two significant things happening. The first one is that both happening on Thursday, we are meeting with the planning department of the City Council to have a conversation that says we want to rebuild this, and we need to understand what permission you'll give us and how far you'll let us go and what things you'll stop us saying. So we're having what they call a pre-application meeting, which costs loads of money, £720 for a two-hour conversation. Bargain. This is your council. So we're having this expensive meeting, And the idea is that the planning department and we talk about what we want to do and how we might want to use the space, and they tell us how that will work and the requirements that they may put upon it. The second thing we're doing on Thursday is having a follow-up meeting with the users of the CWOD at the moment, which is mostly the Deaf Association. We had a meeting just before Christmas when we outlined some of the plans that we were thinking, and we're having a follow-up meeting for them to start to talk about how they in their individual groups might want to use the facility. Now, the thing that we're taking to the council, I nicked these from the brochure, but it also has this on it. So this is the site here that we're looking at. And what we're looking at trying to build is an auditorium that looks like that, which holds about 582 seats. The two is important. And then this is the front, so this becomes a kind of foyer, toilets and those sorts of things. And it fronts onto the main road. So if I just go back a page, this will be the front door about here. Got that? And then going up. Oh, hang on a minute. Shouldn't show you. Going up from here will be three or four stories. One, two, three, four, something like that. And then on the first floor above here will be a cafe and some toilets and some stores. On the second floor we'll have classrooms, seminar rooms. On the third floor we'll have offices, and not showing on here, but probably a fourth floor showing a similar level of space. Now, all of this is what they call, well, I've been referring to as Lego brick design. So it isn't the actual design, it's just the sort of concept of this is what we want to look at. Now, for the Association for the Deaf and for anybody else that sees it, we have done these 3D drawings. Now, whatever we show these 3D drawings, we say one thing and people hear another. So what we say is, this is not what the building looks like. Because it's not designed to be the design of the building. It is to show you the shape and the shape only. But if we just put it in squares, it's too boring. So one of the things that will happen is that we will go away or somebody will go away and design that. And as I was thinking about it, I think, who can we get to design it? James was suggesting some really, really flashy, high-end London architects, because he's done a master's degree in design. And I thought, no, I'm going to get the children to design it. So if you're about Lauren's height... Lauren, can I borrow you a moment? If you're about Lauren's height... Oh, hello. You're about Lauren's height. Excellent. Have a look at that. That is what we don't want the building to look like. Okay? Over there, I'm pointing like it's going to show. Oh, look, it does. Look, there is some paper and some pens. Can you please design what the building should look like for us? And also, anybody else who wants to do some drawing and colouring, I need you please to design our new building. Is that okay? So come and grab a paper and pen. Grown-ups can do it as well if you're an architect or whatever. Or if you're just a person who likes drawing, come and design our new building. It mustn't look like that. But you've got to fit that in. That's the only deal. And while you work your way through doing that, the other big problem that we've got is that James, Paul and I have got absolutely no time to do anything about this. And I've been praying about this. Lord, how do we actually move forward from here? What do we need to be doing to take this forward? And as I was praying about this, my very dear friend came up to me at one point and said, I'm thinking that my time in my current job is coming to an end. What do you think? And I said, I think that's right. He said, because then I could volunteer more for the church. And I said, that's definitely right. I feel that's God's leading. And so Chris Edwards, who is working now 2 days a week essentially for Hope, has also agreed that he is going to help us with the next stages of the building work. So Chris, do you want to tell them what you're doing rather than me tell them? There's a mic there.
Isn't it?
Show the mic.
It feels like something's happening. job today is just to give you a flavor, all right? But it's a flavor of excitement, okay? It's a flavor of... I'm smelling the Holy Spirit in this. This is really good. And my whole life has been turned upside down since Christmas. And I'm now out of education. My wife reminded me it's the first time I'm not going to school in 50 years. How about that? Right. But this is really good. I'm privileged to be to have been asked to consider this and to look at this. In terms of expertise, I helped build schools, not churches. So, you know, that's where I'm coming from. I don't want it to look like a school. No way is it going to look like a school. But we'll see what the children come up with. That'd be a great starter, won't it? So today, my job is to just tell you about this. It's our emerging focus. This is our emerging focus that really seems to be honing and God wants us to get a grip of. And we need all of us to own this. It's not one person's role, it's everybody's role. And I'm really conscious of that. And anything... Do you remember last week when I said every drop counts? Do you remember I said at the end... Every little bit counts. Every drop counts. Every little piece of information you want to give in, you want to send to me, you want to email me, whatever it is, we will consider, we will think. Because we want to hear about God. We want the prophetic word of God. We want a prophetic building. We want something that God really wants for our city. And that's where that's our starting point. If you look at the mission of Jubilee Church, it says to further our mission is to build... We are to build a strong citywide church. Now, we know that's the people, and the building is not the people. Church is the people, isn't it? But I think in the context of this building project is going to enable us to build that strong citywide church. And within my new role that I only started this week, the people I've met already, there is a sense amongst churches that all these different churches are beginning to think, what is God saying? And we're trying to surf the wave of what the Lord wants requires of us. So this is our bit, okay? So listen up. What we want to do is we want to honour our Lord in the design, the development, and the use of a building built on Christian foundations. Buildings last longer than people, actually. And we want this building to last in the appropriate way, built on Christian foundations, on our church's foundations, on our God. We want to establish the location for siting our community church building. That's what we're doing this week. And we want you to pray, especially for the planning meeting this week. And we want to create a purpose-led building that's fit for the future of Jubilee Church and our city. You'll notice that every time I speak, I'll say about and our city, with our city, in our city, because that's where God has located us. And I think it's really important that we keep those words of community church building, church community building, whatever way around you want to put it, because we want to receive and give this building to us, to each other, and to the city. We want to create a worship centre at the heart of the city. There's no doubt about that, and you've seen that already, some of the ideas. We want to build a home location for the people of the Jubilee Church family. That's you guys, and that's hopefully lots more people. And I was conscious, I did the minibus run with the students today. Students, have you thought about where God wants you to be for the next 10 years? There was a little conversation, the girls know what I'm talking about. They were talking behind me as I was driving the minibus. I won't say what they said, but I heard quite a bit. And they were talking about their lives going into the future and some of the things that people talk about. And I just asked the question of all our students who are in today, and for you 20s, what about the next, not the next 3 years, what about the next five? What about the next 10? What's God calling you to? Being part of our city, we love this city. Lots of people come into this city. We love it, and it's great. What's God calling you to be as part of our city? 10 years isn't forever, and they were actually saying to me, oh, it's nearly halfway through. You know, done three, you know, in the second term. It's ridiculous. It goes very quick at uni. So what about it, students? Have a think. So we want to build a home location for the people of our Jubilee Church family. We want to specifically work alongside with CWAD, the Deaf Society, to provide and sustain a location for their work. And their history, we've heard of it before, goes way back to the church and to Henry Fry, and you can look him up. What is it? You know, how is it? How can we help to build their vision as well? And we want to work with the city community to understand and provide and respond to its needs through the use of a community building. We seriously have got the favour of the city of Coventry on us at the moment. You know, the things, Motorfest has brought so much to us. And people refer back to us and they say, well, if Jubilee says it's okay, it's okay. All right, if James Noble says it's all right, well, let's do it. You know, and that is amazing favour. And we need to just get more of that. So in relation to yourselves, every drop counts. If you work in the city, if you work outside the city, if you volunteer in the city, whatever, every bit that you do, you've got something of the favour of God on you, I know. And that can really count going forward. But we want to establish what the building can be used for our community and to serve it. So, let's get down to something. January to March 2018, here we go. I didn't put the thing up on the board because we didn't know how the children would be. And I can push these out later on. You can see it maybe we can put it through Jubilee News. So we're going to build a project team, which will be established to take things forward. We're going to look at partnership agreements with the Deaf Society to move the proposals forward, and that's going to happen even this week. The planning department discussion is happening this week with the City Council. That's on the 18th of January. Please pray for that they'll at least think that we know what we're talking about and that we have something of value and purpose, and it's not a student accommodation piece of building, it's something for everyone, okay? What about discussions with the church, the city and the community? What about your own conversations with people you know? Point them in our direction. What about what can they bring? Say, this is what might be. This is what could be happening. This is what we're looking forward to. All right? These are all things to actually begin to effervesce this whole notion of Jubilee Church is going about looking really purposefully towards a building. We've got to see the architect during this period, just these 2 months or so, about a feasibility document and design proposals. And we want design proposals. We want design things coming forward, little snippets, little bits. I'm sure these children will say something in their designs that will go, oh my goodness, how foolish am I, old geezer type person? I didn't realise that's what the kids want. All right, so let's think about that. And it's all spheres of life. We want to hear from people. And you'll be hearing from me in order to facilitate that. And we've got a proposed schedule for actual stages of development, including a potential timetable for construction. We need to put markers in the ground. I want us to pray specifically that we will know when it's, yes, we're going to put that foundation stone down and this is going. This is going, because we've talked a lot and now the momentum is coming and we're really sensing that God wants us to move in the right way at his timing, not ours. It's always been at his timing and will be at his timing, or else it won't be a success. So I'm thrilled to have been asked to do this. I'm a little bit nervous because I've not built a church, helped, project or facilitate. But what's my role? My role is representing you guys. My role is hopefully representing what God requires. I don't want to step either way except to what God requires. And I know that our elders and our board of trustees would want exactly the same. And if we get things wrong, if we start to make mistakes, we need to be transparent about it. We need to ask forgiveness and we need to find the right permissions to go forward to the next stage. Building a church is amazing. I've heard of some over the years that I've been a Christian. It's hard work. It's sacrificial. But it's really exciting. And when you're holding on to what God requires of you, then that's great. So come on board. Really just understand where we're going with this. Throw everything at me. Every drop counts in terms of things. And if we're not saying enough to you, if we're not saying enough about it, say, we need to hear more. Because we need to keep this within what we're doing. So my job is basically to work with our church, to bring together people and plans and actions to facilitate what we believe is God's design, and it's God's design on any church that will work best. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Chris. Why don't we stand together? I just want to get us to, we'll pray some more tonight, but just together for now, I just want to get us to pray particularly for these two things that are happening during the week, and also that God's favour will continue to be upon it. We'll have clarity from him saying, yeah, this is what I want you to do. This is the right way forward. So I'm just going to get you together to lift your voices, and then Mike will lead us together, and we'll just worship the Lord for a bit, and then we'll come back and talk about some of this other stuff. Is that right? Yeah, okay, let's lift our voices then. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. Lord, our Our heart's cry is that your kingdom would come. Our heart's cry is not that we would have wonderful, amazing, outstanding projects, but that your kingdom will come. And so, Lord, we pray, even sort of halfway through this meeting, as it were, having just been thinking about buildings and all the rest of it and most of us, Lord, we pray, let your kingdom come. Let the news of your soon return be spread into this generation, that the world would see not how wonderful it is if you pull together and make a big project, but the world would see how wonderful you are. We pray for more stories of healing. We pray for more stories of salvation. We pray for more stories of your grace in this day through this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you take a seat? One of the other things that we've been wanting to do really for a couple of years is seek God to understand how he would lead us to both to train leaders and to encourage men and women to step forward into leadership in the life of the church. And we've been doing that in different ways. And one of the key ways that we've done that really has been through setting up community groups and bringing a high level, really, of release into those community groups to enable them to seek God for themselves and to see how God would lead them to impact the city. And as we've done that, those have been an interesting journey, I would say, over the last 3 years as we've been doing that. But one of the things that became clear is that God was raising up leaders and leaders in those groups. And as we, as James, Paul, and I started to seek God and say, "Well, Lord, what are you doing next? How do we take that next? What does that look like?" We felt God speak to us, in particular, about strengthening the eldership team, that the elders wouldn't be just made up of James, Paul, and I, because we were getting comfortable and enjoying our little full-time lives just a little too much. And so God said, "No, you need to expand, and you need to think, well, who are the next leaders and who's coming through?" As we started praying that about that, and then talking with Richard Thomas and Colin Barron and others who provide oversight into the life of the church from outside of the church, they were encouraging us to find and to raise up new elders. And so we asked Matt Clayton if he would start to join us in elders meetings so that we could see what we thought of him and see whether he would agree with us. And we found that mostly he agrees with us. But more importantly, that God seems to be using him a lot. So the more that we've done that, the more that we've seen Matt just start to raise in stature in his own leadership as he's led the Inspire community group, but also in his work career and all sorts of other areas, just seeing God putting his hand upon him. And we've become convinced that we should be looking to add Matt to the eldership team. And so we've got to the point where we think, well, we need to see, is that worldwide? That's a bit harsh, a bit bigger, isn't it? Is that a widespread feeling, or is that just the three of us again in our own little world, creating our own little world? So we want to spend the next few weeks really asking you, as the Church of Jubilee, do you feel it's right to bring Matt as part of the elders? Those of you who don't know who Matt is sat right there with a check shirt in next to Robin, who is, surprisingly enough, his wife. Matt heads up at the currently Inspire Community Group. He also heads up our child protection. Safeguarding is the word I'm trying to find, from a practical day-to-day experience. So it carries a certain amount of weight and authority within the church. But we want to say, okay, we think that God is speaking to us about eldership for Matt and Robin, as they've been praying about it, saying, yeah, we feel God is putting us upon us. Colin and Richard, as we've been sharing with them, and they've got to know him a bit, said, yeah, we feel God's put that. So it's now your turn. Do you feel that's true? Are we reading that right? Because if we're reading that's right, we need to bring him into eldership, and we need to bring him into eldership sometime in the next couple of months. If we're getting it wrong, we need to hear. He may be really, really good at deluding three elders. And we don't know that unless you tell us. So we genuinely want to hear from you. If you think, actually, you know, Matt's a fantastic guy, we'd love to bring him into eldership, we think that's right, then we need to know. If you think, actually, he's the worst possible choice, we also need to know. And we need to understand why. Because that involves then a difficult conversation that I'm going to have with Matt. But it's really important that we as a church get behind our elders and also get behind the changing structure of the church. It's not just, oh, I don't know who it was, Andrew said it would be a good idea and Paul and James have said it would be a good idea, so we've got him. No, we need to hear from each other. So over the coming few weeks, I really want to encourage you to go away and pray and think, is it right to bring Matt into eldership? Now, we're not talking about bringing Matt into a job. As you'll find out in a minute, we haven't got any money. And even if we did, it wouldn't be right. But we are talking about bringing Matt into the oversight of the church. That means joining us with authority in the church and having a sense of the oversight within the church. Does that make sense to you? It does. Good. I'm glad it makes sense to you, because I'm talking with no real notes. We're looking for a period of about a month or so to do that. So my guess is that we, if sometime around middle of end of February, we'll be looking to appoint Matt as an elder. So you've got that 3 or 4 weeks to go and pray, to talk to me, to talk to James, to talk to Paul, to talk to Matt. He's a nice guy. If you don't know him, invite him round to lunch. He'll take that. If you do know him, you can still invite him round to lunch. He's nice. And Robin, but I just want to leave that with you for the minute. We need to seek God. Lord, are you showing us that this is the right way forward? Is that okay? So that's the next exciting thing going on in 2018. The very next one I want to talk about, we've got any time? Yes, we have. Is our international reach. So God has... Let's get through these pictures. There we are. So God has spoken to us about going to the nations, and these are the places that we've currently got a level of contact into for various reasons. Now, the thing that I found really interesting when I first noticed this, when I saw a world map on the face, but actually, everywhere we're involved with is basically in one straight line. With a slight deviation, but if you get the map small enough and the pen thick enough, it actually all covers. it all comes under one line. So these are the places that God has given us some influence at the moment. There is Dresden, which is sort of around there, or more specifically Donor, which is a place just outside Dresden. There is Bosnia and Herzegovina, which is about there. Cambodia, which is about there, and two newish ones, Laos, which is there, and Izmir in Turkey, which is there. And you'll recall that we had an offering in about October of last year to say, help, we need funding to help us with the international call that God's given us to build churches and to plant churches. I'm not going to rehearse all of that again because we went through it in October, but I did want to tell you some of the things that we're doing with all this money, just to help you to understand that a little bit. So probably the bulk of it will be going to our friends in Bosnia. Because there are a number of different things that we want to do there. The first is that there is a leaders conference in Portugal in a couple of months' time. Can't quite remember now. And we want to use some of that money to bring Bernard, who is the leader of the church there, and also another friend of ours who is leading a church on an island called Cortula, that Bernard is overseeing and is now a full-time pastor there, along with me, to go to that conference where we're meeting together with the other leaders from Europe, and in particular the other leaders from the Balkan nations. And it's an important time because it seems to be the way that God is helping us to build real apostolic values and real church values into these small churches, to help them to build and to grow and to encourage. And I know that they found them really encouraging. So we want to bring those guys into that. Bernard travels around 5 or 6 different churches and small groups in quite a wide area around Bosnia-Herzegovina. And he also has a role nationally within Bosnia-Herzegovina. And so he has to do quite a lot of travelling and has no money. The church doesn't have any money. In fact, he didn't get paid last month. That's how much money they haven't got. And so last year, we helped him with a part of his travel costs, giving him a budget to enable him to put petrol in a car and hire a car to travel to these different places. And we want to continue with that so that he can work within the area. God seems to be giving him great influence right within the whole country. And it gives us an opportunity to affect the nation. So we're going to use some of the money for that. Bernard and Nada themselves, when I was with them this time last year, I think it was, Bernard wasn't very well. And I said to him, Bernard, why are you never well? Being loving and caring that I am like that. And he said, well, actually, Andrew, he said, a lot of it relates back to the war. He says, what you're actually seeing is the outputs of the Civil War. He was fighting in the Civil War, and a lot of the physical problems he has relate from that, not because of, you know, his arm was shot off or something, but because of the sheer stress of what's happening. And lots of different things keep coming out for Bernard because of not only the stress of that situation, but since then, the stress of working in a land where there's 600 or 700 Christians and the real remnants of civil war. So one of the things we really want to be able to do is to bless him and Nada by sending them to a retreat for a week where they can look at some of these issues and unpack them a little bit. And it's something we've been thinking and praying about for a little while. And so we want to use some of the money to do that, to enable them to do that. So that's... and then one more thing. 2 years ago, we brought all of their youth over to New Day, and they absolutely loved it. And it was... Who was there? Did they love it? Did you like it, having them there? Good, because whenever I go there, they say, please, can we come to New Day again? I said, of course you can come to New Day again. I said, well, please, can you pay? And I said, oh. And so it's really expensive. They have no money, and as you know, to get from there to there when you're bringing kind of 15 youth or something is quite a lot of money. So we want to just think about, is it appropriate that we should do that again this year? If I said that to them, they would say yes. If I said it to our youth leaders, I'm not quite sure what response I'll get. I'll ask them now when the pressure's on. No, I won't. So we're thinking, is it appropriate for us to do that again for them this year and give them some real input into their youth, the next generation? So that's Bosnia. Cambodia, which is down there. Last month I went on a visit. I've got a video. I haven't got time to show it to you. But I was out there. They've had some real leadership challenges. Those leadership challenges are, I think, over. They've fought a hard and tough battle. And there's no doubt about it. When you start stepping forward in the kingdom of God, you come across physical opposition. Even in this room here, some of us are finding a real serious battle. You think, what's that got to do with where we're at? It almost feels that they're disjointed, but they're not disjointed. When the kingdom of God moves forward, all sorts of things happen because you enter into something of a battle. So the people in this room, although we've been praying wonderful things and seeing healing, there are people in this room who are struggling majorly, and that's because we never get to the point of this wonderful heavenly place where everything's fine, because that doesn't happen until Jesus returned. In the meantime, we're in a battle. We'll cover all of that in when we get a bit further on into Ephesians. But Cambodia have been facing some of that. I think they're through that, but I used some of the money to go and see them. Also on that trip, I went to a place called Stung Treng, which is just up there. You may or may not remember, this time last year we ran a conference for all of the churches in Southeast Asia that we in Catalyst New Frontiers are working with. As a result of that, we've been able to see a new church plant in Stung Treng. And I went out there with Martin, who met this young guy. I'd met them in Southeast Asia, and he said, I think we want to start a church. We'd prayed about it, thought this is right. And so we've seen a church go. And one of the exciting things was that we went up there, it's in northeast Cambodia. We went up there, there's this brand new church plant, about 40 or so believers, local believers. We did a leadership conference for about half a dozen churches in that area on one day, and then the following day I got to preach on baptism. We baptized 19 people in the river Mekong, which is amazing. I was exciting. You'd be excited if you were there. So we used a little bit of the money for that. But actually, there is in Laos, which is another place that I went to on that trip, communist nation. We met with 4 or 5 pastors who represented, we think, about 250 churches, and probably, according to them, about 100,000 Christians in a kind of underground church who were saying, we don't know what we're doing, but we know that what we've got isn't right. And we need to understand what it is to build a biblical church, what it is to build grace-filled churches, what it is to build churches full of the presence and kingdom of God. I haven't got time to explain it to you all, but essentially they've grown up in a communist society. Their understanding of leadership and their understanding of what that looks like is based on a communist system of control. And they know that that's not biblical, but they don't know how to get out of it in terms of, so what do we do? And so they've asked us if we could help them pull together something that will help them to start maybe something of a movement. So in a few weeks' time, 3 or 4 weeks' time, I'm going out there with David Devenish, with Martin Dunsford, and into just the top end of Thailand, because that's where they can get to fairly easily. And we're going to start a conference that, who knows, there's something of a considerable work of God coming out that will affect an entire nation. And so we're using a little bit of that money to fund me travelling out there, actually, quite frankly, to start to say, well, Lord, what are you doing here? What are you showing us in this area? And then also in Izmir have been a church there for several years, New Frontiers Church, which is in Turkey. And I've been building a little bit of a friendship, and they are saying, we need some help of a UK church that understands what it is to work internationally. Will you come and help us? It's a New Frontiers church and I've said that I will go out there in a few weeks' time, just meet with their leaders, with Andy Martin, and see whether it's something that God is putting in us to work with another church, this time in Turkey. It's been around for some time, but needs friendship, needs to be feeling isolated. So that's the other one. And then finally, Dresden, which is up there. We've been working with a church up there for a little while. You remember 2 years ago we ran something called Mission Fest. Do you remember that? We ran Mission Fest, which was in order for us to take a large-scale team of people out into to the edges of Dresden and a place called Donau and Pirna and other little towns nearby, to experience international work and to experience a bit of cross-cultural mission and to experience cross-cultural evangelism. We want to do that again next June. And so we're going to be running that again in June. We'll be talking about it in a bit more detail later on in a few weeks' time about what we actually want to do. But again, we want to take a whole team and go out there and see if we can understand more of what it is to work cross-culturally. So those are some of the things that are happening internationally and some of the things that we want to use that money for. Does that make sense to you? Yes. Good. Okay. Well, we're running out of time, so I'm going to do one more thing and then we're going to pray and sing. So we'll talk about a little bit more of these things tonight. As we come together and pray. But I want to just put one thing past you or make you aware of one thing that is actually really significant for us. We are, and that is to do with the Jubilee Church itself. We are facing, for the first time in 18, 20 years, I would suggest, a time when all these things are opening up, we are facing significant financial challenges. And we haven't faced those for many years. So our day-to-day expenditure, where we've gone into two services, where we've gone into have changes of people coming and going who've left the church to move on and joining the church, is we actually have less money coming in every month than we've got going out by quite a big margin. And we'll talk about that some more in beginning of March, I think, when we do our... possibly. Yeah, anyway, in a few weeks' time when we do our finances. But at this stage, I want to just say to you and encourage you we need a greater level of financial income if we're going to do all that God has called us to do. And so it's very interesting. When you look at Jesus, Jesus talks a lot about being generous. And the Bible talks a lot about being generous into the ministry of the church or of the people, depending on which bit of the Bible you're reading. But it's really interesting to note that when Jesus and Paul are talking about being generous, often they're talking to Jews. And the Jews had a concept of tithing, that you give 10% of your income into the priestly ministry, as it would have been there. So that was their starting point. And into that starting point, Jesus says, you must be generous. You must be generous. So I want to do nothing more on this stage outside of encourage you and ask you to ask yourself seriously before the Lord, are you being generous into the work of the ministry of this church? If this is your home, if this is where you spend your time and your energy, where you receive your spiritual input, if you say, I'm a part of this church, then the call is upon us to fund the work that God has given us to do. And that happens by us being generous into the life and the ministry of the church. I won't give you hard numbers at this stage. We'll do that in a few weeks' time. But at this stage, I just want you to be prayerful. Lord, I want to play my part in building this thing. I don't want to say I'm generous because I've given away 0.005% of my money into the life of the church, and that was big of me, wasn't it? Actually, I want to think generosity in the way that you understood it. I want to think generosity in the way that the First World Church would have understood it. I want to see the kingdom of God come through the work of the church. This isn't about raising money for the building. That's a whole nother subject. This is just about us continuing to do the very things that we do here. So I don't want to labour that any more than this at this stage, except to say for each of you, will you please join us in praying, Lord, I want to play my part. I want to play my part. If you want to talk to me more about that, I'm very happy to. We need to come to the end of our time together. So I'm just going to see if Mike will join us. Tonight, we'll pray into some of these things a little bit more. But let's, for now, just bring our focus back to the Lord. We want to honour him. We want to love him. We want to see his kingdom come. Is that okay? Good. Yes. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's worship the Lord. Yeah, go.